Support from union-owned, union-represented Bank of Labor. Bank of Labor has provided trust and fiduciary services to labor organizations for nearly a century. Online at bankoflabor.com.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Robin Ryan, Catherine Matichuk, Ryan Stroyer, and Nathan Pahinsky. Our engineer is Pooh Epstein. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sarika Mehta.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now!, news magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Positively Revolting Talk Radio with Ani and Lynn, covering a variety of topics from an ecofeminist and anarchic feminist perspective. At 9, hear Democracy in Motion, hosted by Lisa Loving. She interviews local, state, and federal elected officials about their work. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, local news hosted by Chris Andrae. Hear Flash at 10:15. Hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, it's The Digital Divide, a program on how to use science, medicine, and technology to benefit and not harm society. We'll hear physician Robert Watcher on his latest book, The Digital Doctor: Hope, Hype, and Harm at the Dawn of Medicine's Computer Age. We'll also talk about the upcoming Open Source Bridge 2015, an annual conference focused on building open source community and citizenship, taking place next week in Portland. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thank you KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
The western gray wolf is currently protected by the Federal Endangered Species Act in combination with state-level protections. However, as federal authorities stand poised to potentially delist the wolf, ranchers and hunters are pushing for a legalized hunt. KBOO's Sarah Switzoff spoke with land defender Meto Woksapi about colonialism, native sovereignty, and his efforts to protect the wolf across the continent.
I'm Meto Woksapi. I'm Lakota Blackfoot Potawatomi land defender, and I have ties back to AIM. Some people say they were AIM babies. I was a AIM grandbaby. My grandfather was AIM. And
that's the American Indian Movement, just to clarify for listeners.
Yes, that's correct, American Indian Movement. Mm-hmm. So I started getting active probably about 2008, when there was a 500-year-old oak tree that development wanted to cut down, and I sat in the tree and stopped it from getting cut down. And after that, I did Longest Walk 3, which was widely organized by AIM again, and I was reversing diabetes. And so I got to walk from Portland all the way over to the East Coast, going from tribe to tribe, reservation to reservation, talking to tribal people who are active. And so I got a lot of connection from that. I'm trying to unite the tribe. My grandfather told me about when they were killing wolves when he was young, and using helicopters and the bounties on the pelt. It's a lot like the scalp hunting that Jackson and different Indian hunters from American history have done.
And it was, I'm thinking about the context of Oregon, actually all of Oregon's wolves were completely wiped out at one point. I read it was 1946 that the last wolf was killed, so like the First Nations, there is this attempt to completely wipe out the population, and it was systematic and funded. Can you talk a little bit about the current federal and state level status of wolves in various parts of the country, including Oregon, and what actions you've taken in the past?
These ranchers are using colonization again, and they're wanting to take this land. You know, the same thing that threatens the bison threatens the wolf. It's all the same thing. Right now we got some protection in the Great Lake. Last year we got protection in Wyoming again. I don't believe that Federal Endangered Species Act will last forever. I think it's being dissolved piece by piece. It was also created by Richard Nixon, and we don't trust that guy. You know, the reason why it's easy to get wolves, like, reestablished in the first place is because even conservatives will vote to get them reestablished because they want a trophy hunt. Now, once they're established, then they don't want to shoot them.
Yeah, I heard also that if the wolf population becomes too established, it threatens other trophy hunting, such as moose and elk.
That's true, yes. People that hunt with dogs like to have the terrain free of all wolves so that they're free to set their packs of dogs on mountain lions or bears without being rivaled by wolves, because wolves will kill dogs if they have pups. Wolves basically run away from dogs if there's no pups, but if pups are present, they'll shred those dogs.
Before, you mentioned the ranchers and the pressure of the ranchers. Can you talk about that? You know, is that part of what's, we just talked about trophy hunting, but as I understand it, ranchers and especially cattle ranching is the really big lobby behind killing off wolves or taking away the Endangered Species Act. Can you talk about that land use and the impact of cattle ranching and then how that ties into the wolf hunt?
Cattle ranching is being done a lot on public land and right in national forests. And cattle ranchers, they have a lot of influence with the government. Extraordinary amount of influence. And they do in a lot of desert areas, and it destroys the vegetation. They can't recuperate for up to 5 years on desert plants. It disrupts sage grouse in the south, desert tortoise, which is sacred to the Dene, all kinds of species.
And the return of the wolf population sort of comes into direct conflict with ranchers maintaining their industry and their herds. So they're the ones that want to be able to, they want to be able to shoot wolves upon first sight, and right now they're kind of restricted by the Endangered Species Act, or they have to file complaints, or there's some kind of system they go through.
Yeah, from my understanding, there has to be two complaints, and somebody from the state comes out to verify it, and then they give you not one tag, but two tags. I'm not entirely sure on that, because I deal in moral and ethics and natural rights, things like this that supersede laws of colonial man.
Exactly. So, in Oregon would be impacted by the federal repeal of the Endangered Species Act, but states could put their own legislation implementing kind of like their own local Endangered Species Act or their own provisions for state level protection. Is that something that you're weighing in on when you target Oregon Fish and Wildlife for call-ins or occupy meetings or speak, make public comment at meetings?
Yeah, I spoke on all of against all of that. I went to meetings and until I realized they're just getting paid to listen to people, you know. I just felt, I've seen a lot of heartfelt testimony, and they're just paid to look the other way. What needs to happen now is we got to unite the tribes to get protection on tribal lands and start to assert ourselves to and our ancestral homelands as well, because can't trust the colonists. We got to give protection in our own area because the wolf is sacred to different tribes. Right now, the Paiute haven't been very vocal in this, and we like to change that. I'm going to share a story with you here from the Paiute. This is called The Wolf and the Stars. Long ago, when it became night, there were no stars in the sky. Wolf thought he would brighten up the dark sky by putting stars there. He designed the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, the North Star, the Eagle's Footprint, the Three Hunters, and the Bears. Wolf worked and worked, and by noontime was very tired. Wolf lay down to take an afternoon nap with his sack beside him. The sack was a teepee wrapped up like a bag with stars in it. As Big Brother was sleeping, along came his little brother, Coyote, who was searching for him. When Coyote came across his big brother sleeping, he noticed the sack beside him and became curious. He said to himself, "I wonder what's in that sack. I will take a look and see what's in it." Coyote took the sack and ran. While he was running, he opened the sack and looked in. Not watching where he was going, he tripped and spilled the stardust with which Brother Wolf had been making the stars. The stardust splattered into the sky among the designs Wolf was working on. If Brother Coyote had not taken Wolf's sack of stardust, all the stars would have been formed into designs rather than scattered about as they are today in the Milky Way. When Coyote looks in the sky and cries, it's because he sees the scattered stars and is reminded of what he did. It makes him very sad. So when we see this or hear this story, it's clear that the wolf is a creator figure. Wolf created the stars. And we're not going to kill our own creator. That would ruin our medicine. So we're going to protect these sacred wolves.
So, in the past, you've used prayer walk and fasting and other forms of sacred protest to protest the hunting of the wolf. Can you talk more about natural law and, as you said before, the way that Oregon Fish and Wildlife or government is inherently set up to essentially deter indigenous sovereignty and the reestablishment of a population like the wolf? Can you describe a little bit more your approach to change and this way to work outside of the system or challenge the system by taking indigenous approaches?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the next step on that is just to defend our own lands within the system. I would like to see the system honor their own words, which clearly they're not, and honor our freedom of spirituality, you know. They can't encroach upon that. So.
And this Saturday, you'll be speaking at the Resistance Ecology Conference here in Portland at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Portland State University.
That's correct.
What do you hope to talk about in that lecture, and will it give more information for how allies or anyone residing in the city can support Indigenous sovereignty and the activism that you've just described?
Yeah, I'm going to be giving some more background information, sharing some more stories, information about an upcoming event.
And that upcoming event is the Wolf Action Camp planned for September?
Yes, our big action this year is scheduled the first week of September. You can contact me at matowoksape@gmail.com, MATOWOKSATE.
That's great information to have, and once again, I'll encourage Portland-based listeners to come out at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning to the Resistance Ecology Conference at Portland State University Smith Memorial Student Union. This is Sarah Swetzoff from KBOO, and I've been speaking with Matteo Woksapi, and we look forward to hosting you here in Portland.
Great. Thank you so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time is 6:01.